is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, Chuck Holton here. We're just doing an extra episode of the podcast today because I wanted to catch up with a friend over in Armenia to find out kind of an update about what's going on over there. I don't want to look away from the crisis in Artsakh because it's still very important. There are a lot of people suffering, and somebody who's doing something about that is my good friend, Elina. And Elina is a, well, I'll let her tell you about herself. But suffice it today to say, Elina is single. And so if you're a well-off, a very wealthy man, she would make a great companion for you for the rest of your life. But you have to have a lot of money. We got the chance to get to know Elina when we were in Artsakh and Armenia on our last trip here in January. She's fantastic and has a real heart for the people there. So Elina, tell us about your work and what brought you back to Armenia after spending so much time away.
Hi Chuck, hi everyone. So I am a humanitarian aid worker by profession and Armenian and from Artsakh by origin. So when the conflict started, I waited a bit because I didn't know where it was going and what is happening exactly. And then on the 5th of November, I bought the ticket to Armenia, a one-way ticket to Armenia. And on 11th of November, I was here. And I stayed a few days and then I started fundraising, basically telling the stories of people that I was meeting that were affected by the conflict. The displaced people. I was meeting them and telling their stories to the public. And some people wanted to help them out because you have to understand that these people fled their homes with the clothes they had on. So they had nothing. So they needed everything, basically. And some people were kind enough and generous enough to donate. But as it usually goes, a few months have passed already. And donations are becoming less, like a lot less. However, the needs are still great. And I've also started helping other groups of people. So basically not just the ones that have been displaced, but also, for example, prisoners of war that have been captured for a few months or fighting. And because of that, their family didn't have income and they are back on paying rent or utility bills, or they have health bills that need to be paid, and not even talking about the food. So helping all these people, helping Armenians that have lost their breadwinner in the war because he was a soldier, for example, and he passed away, and now they don't have that income anymore. So I'm helping more and more categories of people who suffered because of this conflict.
Now, these are Christians that we met while we were over there, Armenian Christians, yes, who really are being persecuted for their faith because they're, as I say, Armenia is a beautiful house in a really bad neighborhood. And because of their location, they're sandwiched between Azerbaijan and Turkey. Both directions that they look, they see enemies who want to wipe them out. And so what we've seen in this last conflict, if you're not up to speed on that, in the Nagorno-Karabakh region, which was a region that was controlled by Armenia for the last 30 years, and it was settled by Armenians for the last couple thousand years, the Azeris have been biding their time and building up their forces. They attacked Armenia in October of this last year. Was it October or November? Yeah, October. And
September 27th?
September is when it started. That's yes, right. It
was when early in the morning when people were still sleeping, they heard bombs falling, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got to meet a lot of the people who were driven out of their homes. The ceasefire that took effect, it was a really bad deal for Armenia. And basically, resulted in Armenia having to give up a tremendous amount of territory, many, many villages where Armenians now can no longer live. So places where people have lived for their entire lives, They have been driven out and they're now staying in hostels and hotels and any place they can, abandoned places in Yerevan and around Armenia. And it's up to the Armenian people to try to help their fellow man. There are a lot of Armenian expats who live here in the United States, and they've been trying to send help as well. So we wanted to just raise the awareness of that. What is the state of the people that you've been working with, Elina? What's their mental state and what's their economic state now?
Well, the mental state of different people is different, of course, depends from which category they are. The ones that have lost their homes, they feel sad, of course, for losing all their belongings, everything they worked for their whole life. And then, for example, I visited last Sunday, a 37-year-old mom who lost her 19-year-old son in the war. And of course, her mental state, and she doesn't have a husband either. So she's a single mom with a 17-year-old girl now. And her mental state is, I cannot understand that pain at all. Mm. And, you know, I talked to her about faith, and she's a Christian. And I believe so was her son, and tried to encourage her and give her hope that she will see him again. But the mental, like, what can you say in this situation? It's too devastating. Right. And then, of course, we have the prisoners of war who, I guess, joking is their coping mechanism, but they seem positive. But we all know the horrible things they've been through in prisons, you know, mm-hmm. being captured. Mm-hmm. And the mental state, yeah, it seems positive. Because they're alive, but the underlying issues are there, of course. But what I've noticed and what people keep telling me is that they appreciate the moral support. So what I try to do when I go to families and I give them cash assistance or food assistance, I don't just drop it there or put it on the table and leave. I stay there and I talk to the family and hear them out and try to encourage them and to have faith,
yeah,
and to show them God's love, and they are appreciative of that a lot, and they keep saying that how important it is for them to feel emotionally supported by others, not just financially.
Very much so. We got to go visit a few of those families with you while we were over there in January, and it was a very emotionally draining experience to do that. Yes. Because you see the pain in these people's eyes, you hear their stories of loss, and you just, it's hard to even wrap your mind around the things that they're going through. Armenia has lost several thousand people to this war, and it's a very small country. So everyone knows someone who was killed. Yeah. Everyone knows someone who lost family members or was displaced. And so in reality, the entire country is going through a period of mourning for this. And that's why over Christmas, there wasn't much in the way of Christmas decorations and that sort of thing. We want to help any way we can. We were able to help a couple of people while we were over there. Organizations like All Things Possible Ministries and Victor Marx sent a bunch of money for us to help people with, and we were able to give that out while we were there. That was a lot of fun. But we'd like to continue helping to raise funds to help the Christians in Artsakh who have been displaced from their homes. So how can we do that through you, Elina?
I set up a PayPal account, and people can donate to my PayPal account. Maybe you can put a link there somewhere.
Sure. Tell us what the link is, and I'll go ahead and put it in the description.
Let me see. Right.
You sent it to me. Whoop.
Yeah. It's Elina, Yan, Elina Yan, basically. So yeah, if we can put that in a
ELINAYAN.
Yes.
At
and all them. No, it's just that. It's just PayPal that. With me. Yeah.
Oh, that's the PayPal.me/ElinaYan. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And all the proceeds go directly to the people. Everything people send, it goes directly to the people I help.
And also, folks, if you're watching this podcast here in the United States, I brought back a couple of very special bottles of wine from our trip to Artsakh. These came from a village called Toh in Artsakh that has been taken over by the Azeris. This came from a winery that made the Sireni type of wine, which is native to Artsakh. And these are some of the last bottles of wine that will ever be produced out of that region, most likely, because the Azeris are Muslim. They don't make wine. And so I'm going to sell these to anybody who wants them. And whatever money we can raise from these things, we're going to send over to help people in Artsakh. So I hope that you'll just contact me through the podcast and let me know if you're interested in one of these bottles of wine, and we'll work it out and we'll get some money over there to those people. So thank you, Alina, for the hard work you're doing to help the people there. And folks, if you know anybody who's single, Alina is ready to mingle. So I keep giving her a hard time about
Welcome
that.
To Obviously, Armenia.
She's incredibly beautiful, and she just cannot find anybody who is quite up to her standards yet in Armenia. But she would love to find a good Armenian businessman somewhere, maybe here in the United States.
Enough of embarrassment, Chuck. Thank you.
Yes, your face now matches your shirt. But Alina is one of the most lovable people we've ever met. We had a fantastic time prancercising all around Artsakh with her and Marky. And we hope to do it again soon. So thank you for watching, folks. And I hope you'll go ahead and get a hold of Alina and help out the people in Artsakh. God bless you. Yeah, we love you. And I hope to see you again very soon.
Likewise.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.